Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D, the very first Italian-American podcast and the home of your Italian-American moment. I'm your very proud host, Frankie D, and we can be heard at ItalianAmericanLife.com, on iTunes, Stitcher, your podcast app. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, connect with us on LinkedIn, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. It is a pleasure to introduce my guest, who is the founder of the Italian Mass Project, Alexis Carat. Tracy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Frankie. So happy to be here.
Well, I have to tell you, the first time I became aware of the Italian Mass Project, I was very intrigued. First of all, anything with Italian in it intrigues me. And then a mass project is something that's needed. Let's just say that. Okay. So tell us, first of all, a little bit about your Italian family background.
Yeah, so I'm very fortunate that I'm Italian on both sides. So my mom's family is from Benevento, and my dad's side is from Avellino. And my grandparents on my mom's side were born in Italy. They actually are still alive, so I'm very fortunate to have them. And, you know, being Italian was always a relevant part of my life from a young age. I was actually also fortunate to know my great-grandmother as well. So, you know, as a young child, I was constantly exposed to Italian culture, and I still go and visit now.
But so yeah, as a young child, did you visit Italy often? Or?
Yeah, so, I mean, I would love to go every year. I can't go every year. I wish I could, but I go every few years.
Okay.
The first trip to Italy, I was about 15 years old. So I was a teenager the first time I visited. And then I've been going back like every other year since then.
So it had a good effect on you.
Yeah, absolutely. It was just a wonderful place, you know, especially seeing the family that's still in Italy as well. It was just, you know, a life-changing experience. I really had felt that, wow, you know, this is where my roots, this is where I'm from. And it just had a wonderful impact. And I maintain contact with my cousins and relatives that are still in Italy to this day.
Well, that's wonderful. And I'm going to assume that you're from the New York area, but yes, like where yes. Specifically and what kind of a neighborhood was it?
So this is the interesting immigration story. So yeah, so my family, we're New York Italians, essentially. So we're the Italians that came to New York, mainly from the Bronx, essentially. So my mom was born a few months after my grandparents had moved to New York. She was essentially born in the South Bronx, and then with general immigration patterns, kind of like moved up to more of the northeast Bronx area. And that's kind of where the family is, similar with my dad, also a Bronx Italian, Italy to the Bronx. And then now we live in Westchester County, which is still in the New York metropolitan area.
Is it heavily Italian populated or?
I wouldn't consider it an enclave per se, but there are still a lot of Italians. There's just, you know, there's just certain pockets. You kind of have to know where to go. I mean, we're no longer in the days, for better or for worse. I think it's for worse, where we're not in the enclaves necessarily. So you have to make more of an effort to be with other Italians that really care about, you know, their background and the culture. But, you know, in Westchester in general, the New York metropolitan area, I mean, there's so many Italian Americans still.
Sure. So, okay. No, that's great. Yeah. I have to do a rude thing. I don't like to do it. Ask the lady her age, but how old are you?
Okay, so I'm 29. I just turned 29 in November.
Okay, so the Italian Mass Project, you started a very young girl. You know, obviously, we both know, everybody knows. I mean, young people and going to Mass, not a very popular thing, unfortunately. So you are an attorney,
yes,
and you work for the Archdiocese of New York, correct?
Yes. Correct.
Okay, so does that have an influence on you starting this Italian Mass Project? And if not, how do you come to start an Italian Mass Project?
Oh my gosh, there's so many different, how should I start this story? Well, I think the Italian Mass Project was really born out of COVID in the sense that, you know, during 2020, I really had a lot of time to reflect on, you know, what was important to me. So obviously, you know, being Italian, that was a central part of my identity, but also being Catholic. So as you have mentioned, yes, I'm an attorney at the Archdiocese of New York. So I essentially work for the church in New York. So you know, full disclosure, like that's an important part of who I am. Then I was just thinking, I don't know, you know, there seemed to be a lot of people either my age or let's say third, maybe even fourth generation Italians that were kind of like experiencing, specifically during COVID, like, okay, you know, what really matters to me? You know, people had a chance to reflect on their priorities. And I saw a lot of my friends, so my other people that I know, like, okay, you know, we experienced what it was like to be isolated, to not have a sense of community during COVID because we were isolated. So then I was like, well, you know, if we now know what it's like to not have a sense of community, well, then going forward, we really have to, you know, work hard to reestablish that sense of community and, you know, keep it going. So then I was thinking a little bit more about, well, how can I do this in a way that brings my Italian, you know, background and my Catholic faith together? So I just ended up starting to research in New York how many Italian masses still existed. So, and I mean by that, like either a weekly Sunday mass or even let's say a monthly mass in Italian. And there were quite a bit. There's in the general, let's say New York area, so the boroughs and then the surrounding areas, there's, you know, at least 30, which is quite a large number. And then I went back to the parish where I was baptized, which is St. Clair of Assisi in the Bronx, where my grandparents go, and they go to the monthly Italian mass. And I was like, you know, this is interesting. You know, this is something that normally people would think is like dying out. You know, a lot of Italians now, they speak English. There's no need for the Italian mass. But then I was like, I don't know. There's something special about that. And there's something that this can be used as kind of like a nexus or a way then to establish community in a way that hasn't been done before. So that, I guess I'll explain a little bit more what I mean by that. So I cataloged all the different masses, Italian and English Italian masses that exist in New York. And then I was like, well, you know, what times are they at? And what are people doing afterwards? How can we create, you know, an authentic Italian Catholic type experience that would be appealing? So in January 2022, so, you know, almost a year ago, I, in a sense, launched my first event with the Italian Mass Project. So what did that consist of? So that consisted of going to Mass at our Lady of Pompeii in New York City. It was an 11 a.m. Italian Mass, all in Italian, very well attended because that has a mix of new Italian immigrants as well as, you know, older people that come back. And then afterwards, I had an extensive kind of like social formation element. So, you know, there were people that were coming. We were talking about, okay, what's the significance of Our Lady of Pompeii, Our Lady of the Rosary? Why is this relevant? Who cares? And, you know, let's have some good food and have a sense of hospitality together. So that's essentially what we did. So we went to the Mass. I advertised that this was going on. And I followed it up with a more of a robust food and discussion type format. And then since then, those are the types of experiences or Italian Mass Project experiences that I've been, you know, promoting at different parishes that have an Italian or English Italian Mass, or even some parishes that, you know, don't but want to have this occasionally. And thus far it's gone, you know, it's gone pretty well. I mean, people are interested in it and they're at least very curious. They might have memories of, you know, this was relevant at some point in time, or I heard about this, or yeah, that'll be interesting to go to an Italian Mass. I'll be able to practice my language, or, you know, I want to finally have some community with other Italians because maybe I live in an area that's not with Italian. So people come for different reasons. It's been good.
Couple questions. Sure. You mentioned discussions. Now, mm-hmm. What do you mean by afterwards? Okay, it's a social time. I agree with you 1,000%. I think that's great. And it's almost a necessity. There is some type of socialness after. But how do you have a discussion like in a huge group setting like that?
Well, you always do it over food. But I think, I don't know, maybe because in work, I'm used to having these discussions, you know, in the conference room. But like,
picture.
People sitting at a large table, like picture, you know, the Last Supper, but when you have some people sitting at a large table And then there will be a point where I'll say, okay, now we're going to have a discussion on why are we here, who, let's say, is Our Lady of the Rosary of Pompeii. So then it'll really be, I'll explain some background. People have a chance to, ask questions. Usually we'll have like a priest as well. He'll be able to comment on it. So people have an element of formation. So yes, socializing is very important, but I do want it to be a little bit more, robust or a little bit deeper so that they actually come away, learning something that's, interesting and deeper.
Right, like a little thought-provoking information. See, I wasn't sure if you meant like, I don't know, like you're in a microphone and there's like 100 people and you're just giving us, it's more of like a smaller setting that people are discussing. Okay,
I
no,
mean,
yeah, that's
this
great.
I had a past event recently, which we can talk about, and that really was 100 people. So that was a bit larger to handle, but I still gave, a five, it was about, let's say, a 5 to 10 minute introduction, and then people, were able to talk and socialize. So, you have to get that in there because I think, it's important to have something that's deeper as well.
It is definitely. A couple other questions. Okay, so you say English, Italian. So these 30 different parishes that have these masses, are they like the entire masses in Italian, or it's like one of those things where it's like the priest says a little in English, a little in Italian, and he goes back and forth?
So it depends. So on my list, so I've in my, let's say, catalog, I list both either masses that are strictly in Italian or masses that are both in Italian and English. But in some places, let's say, the borough of Queens, they have, at least 10 Italian language only masses on Sunday. So that, Brooklyn obviously as well. Brooklyn has the most out of any other borough, but like in Queens specifically, they have a lot of just strictly in Italian. But English Italian is fine too. I've also included them on the list. But yeah, I was surprised to know that there are quite a few Italian only
Okay,
masses.
it's amazing. So I'm in Chicago, which, not a small town, but we have one solid Italian mass in Italian every Sunday, one parish. And I would say possibly on occasions, another parish would have an Italian mass. And maybe I don't know everything about where I live. So let's say possibly on occasion, there's a third. And that's it. And mostly it's just the one. So that is amazing that there are still 30 parishes doing this. And another question that comes to my mind, these 30 masses in Italian, would you say, and I don't know if you know the answer, are these Italian priests or are these perhaps priests that, know Italian?
So it's obviously mixed, but I think what's interesting about, let's say, the Catholic Church and Italy is that a lot of priests, so for example, in the Archdiocese of New York, so even if you're not, let's say, ethnically Italian, many of the priests have gone to Rome, have some sort of connection to Rome that they speak Italian. So, for some of the masses, yes, they're said by an Italian, a priest of Italian, heritage or Italian background, but some aren't. Some are a priest that just went to Rome. He learned Italian and he, now says the mass in Italian. And there's a
Absolutely.
parish in the Bronx that's known for that. So Our Lady of Mount Carmel in the Bronx and Arthur Avenue area, the Bronx is a very famous area. The current priest, he's a Spaniard from Spain. So he speaks Spanish, English, and Italian because he studied in Rome and he speaks Italian quite well. So he's able to say the Italian mass.
Well, I mean, in a dummy way of looking at it, it's like the Catholic Church. Home base is Rome, Italy. So I'm sure that a lot of the priests have spent time in Rome and they learn Italian because that's the language of the home base. So.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's not like I don't know, like if let's say there are people that wanted to start something like this, like chances are finding a priest who speaks Italian isn't going to be like the number one challenge. So we I mean, are priests now going to want to say an additional mass if they're not, used to it or something like that? But like there are priests even that are not ethnically Italian that, know Italian and they'll be willing to say mass in Italian or Italian in English for sure.
Sure. And speaking of the number one challenge, what in your opinion is that?
Okay, so I think we're at the point, at least in New York, where a lot of the Italian masses are at times that are not, I guess, conducive to, let's say, like growth. So let's say they're at like 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning. So that's fine, and you're going to get a lot of older people, and that's great. You know, those are my grandparents. Like, I don't want to take that away from them, but that's not going to attract younger people and families. So in New York, what I've really found that the masses that are a little bit later, let's say maybe about 11 o'clock. So again, our Lady of Mount Carmel in the Bronx, they're Italian masses at 11 o'clock. And then other, let's say a Saturday vigil mass, maybe at 4 or 5 p.m., those are what attract people. So if the mass times are a little bit later or in the evening, that's what's going to attract people. Whereas if you have them, you know, at 8 o'clock in the morning, that's harder because that's a more, you know, a narrow demographic. And, you know, that's so to me, it's a challenge because, okay, you obviously don't want to take the mass away from people that are used to going to the 8 o'clock a.m. Italian mass, but if it's going to have any future, there needs to be, you know, conversations with, let's say, the parish, with the priest. Like, is there a possibility? Can we make this a little bit later or do something like that for it to survive? And that's honestly, you know, challenging.
As well, you mentioned, I believe you mentioned like refreshments after socializing. Okay, where is the funding coming from for this refreshments?
Well, the way that I normally do it is through donations. So, like, for example, if I'm having, let's say, an official hospitality after an Italian mass, so there's multiple ways to do it. One, I ask people if they want to bring something, or I'll order stuff, authentic food, of course, and then I ask people to give, you know, a cash donation. So that's kind of how we, you know, make up the costs. And then, you know, for some parishes, they're fine to contribute. Like, if they're used to having hospitality after mass, then they're willing to contribute. It depends, but those are, I guess, the three kind of main avenues. Either parishes that already, let's say, have this in place, they'd be willing to contribute to hospitality, asking people to bring stuff, or three, ordering stuff and then asking people for donations.
And now, how are you promoting this? That's another big question.
So it kind of helps a few different ways. Obviously, social media, so through Facebook, et cetera. I have an extensive email list, so I send out email blasts, things like that. But what's really helped is that because I work in the Archdiocese, now granted, this is an independent project. I'm not doing this for the diocese, but I have enough connections in the diocese in terms of networks. So, like, you know, if I know that there are certain groups of people that are interested in this, I'll reach out to them. And one of the main avenues that I've been advertising is in New York City. There's a group, or there's a very, very large network of Catholic young adults. And I mean, like, young professionals, people in their 20s and 30s. It's a very, very large group. You would think New York, you know, not really a religious place, but it's large. So I'm able to advertise through those networks. And from there, I've been able to attract, you know, younger people. So, you know, that's been very, very helpful.
Now, along the way, you started this alone. Have you acquired some help, or do you not want help, or how does that work?
Well, I guess for me, I have to really think about, you know, how large do I want this to become, in the sense that, like, this is my volunteer job. So, you know, I work full time, you know, as an attorney for the diocese. You know, what do I want to do about this? Do I, you know, just keep this as volunteer, or do now I start, you know, actively soliciting funding and hiring staff? I don't know. That's honestly something that I'm thinking about now. How large do I want this, you know, to be? But what I am doing is that people, let's say, that have gone to some of my events, I've encouraged them to start this at their parishes. So that's kind of what I'm going forward. So, for example, there's, you know, a young woman that I know. She came to one of my events in Manhattan. Her parish is in Brooklyn, and her parish has an English Italian mass, but she says, you know, they really could use a more robust hospitality afterwards. You know, I want to try to set that up. So I'm helping her do that. So that's kind of how I, like, see my role now, trying to encourage people in their, let's say, local parishes and communities to do this, and then provide, let's say, support and assistance to show them, okay, this is how it's done. These are the steps you need to take. And then I'll also help you know, promote and advertise. But
So
yeah.
that's a great idea. I could see that because, like, branching off, like you've been, you did it, and then hopefully it will inspire others in their areas, you would provide assistance and they would take over. That would be great. And I hope that that can happen. It's a very important time. We were kind of on the brink here with faith and believing and an entire, you know, I'm older, a younger generation that it could go either way with it. So I think your project couldn't have come at a better time because it's a necessity right now.
And I
hope that there is success for it. And I hope it does branch off, you know, to different boroughs of New York and beyond. You know, you're out east, New Jersey, Connecticut. That would be, I would assume, like the ultimate goal, right, on a broader scale.
Or to bring this, you know, elsewhere to communities, parishes that are interested in it. I don't know, because I really do feel like there's a longing that people, they have for this. So this past Saturday, essentially, so what I had done, I did a special Italian Mass project event at a parish that normally does not have an Italian Mass, but it's an Italian community historically, and it's a little chapel. And I know the priest, so I was like, you know, do you mind? Let's work together to do this. So what we did is we had a special bilingual English-Italian Mass followed by a special Feast of the Seven Fish dinner, so Festa dei Sette Pesci. So the question is, why did I do this? And the reason why I did it is because a lot of people were longing for that. They were like, well, you know, I used to participate in the Christmas Eve, you know, Feast of the Seven Fishes, but I don't do it anymore because, let's say, my relatives are deceased or my kids don't care or whatever it might be. And then there were other people that, oh, okay, you know, I'm an Italian descent, but I'm, you know, fourth generation. I never experienced it. So there was a lot of curiosity about that. Like, can we make this work? And it ended up being fantastic. So we had an English-Italian Mass followed by a community Feast of the Seven Fishes. And we really had about 100 people, which exceeded my expectations. And people of all, you know, all different ages showed up because there was this sense of longing. There was a sense of longing to want to be, you know, with other Italian Americans, to do something in communion, and then also to be with people that share the faith. And I just saw that in the audience. So, you know, absolutely, like these types of experiences can definitely be brought throughout, you know, throughout the country.
And I don't know how you feel about it, but like, I've always been under the philosophy, build it and they shall come. Now,
yes,
you have to do the work. Don't get me wrong. But if you build it and you put it out there, I think people will come. The problem in our society is it takes that person to build it. Thank God for us. You are in construction and building this project because we need that. You know what? It just, what was it? 3 days ago was Santa Lucia, right?
Yes.
I believe it was Tuesday.
13th, yes.
Yes. And fortunate for me, there is a group here in the Chicagoland area. It's the Society of San Padre Pio. Mm-hmm. And at the one Italian Mass parish, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, yes, they organized a Mass. And then after, they had in the gymnasium food, but it was authentic traditional food that they eat on Santa Lucia. And they even had the Italian DJ, and it was outstanding.
I mean, it was fantastic. Great. Yes,
it was. It was. And it's not something that has been done often, the Santa Lucia Mass. And it was very well attended. It's a Tuesday night. It was 7:30 p.m., but it was very well attended. And got my eyes blessed by the priest. And like I said, we went to the gym, and it was like a pleasure to experience this traditional food. I was not aware of that. I didn't know the traditional food for Santa Lucia. It was very interesting. You can't have things made with flour, so no pasta, no bread. Arancini are part of this tradition. So it was great. And, you know, at one point there's like 3-4 couples dancing, and, you know, I just looked over, I'm in this old gymnasium, and it was like, it could have been 1972. And I love that. I eat that up, and it was great. And, you know, I can only hope that we continue to do these things and build something for the future, because that's what's extremely important.
Yeah, and I think what you said is absolutely crucial. Like, it takes one person to be the initiator, the builder, to do all that. And that's really what I have found. If you do it, people will come. But it's hard because obviously people are busy, priorities have shifted. Who now wants to be an organizer? People are already busy with work. So, that's kind of the issue, getting it started. But once you do, people will come for sure.
Curiosity question, because I'm a curiosity kind of guy. So you start this, you're doing it. Have people offered, like anybody said to you, hey, Alexis, this is great. If I can help, please let me know. Or can I do anything? Or can I add to this? Have you had that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, people definitely offer to help. What I'm trying to, I wish there were more people that would, bring this to their parish. Like I did mention that, young woman in Brooklyn, like she wants to bring this to her parish. But people do offer to help. Like, do you need help? Let's say organizing the mass, the afterwards, the hospitality, what materials do you need? Like people are very, very helpful. We just need more people to take initiative though, to lead. That's kind of the challenge here, but it'll come in time.
I have we have the Italian mass.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've done a couple times is kind of took it a step further and created a flyer, called it Italian Community Mass, offered, afterwards the refreshments and whatnot. So, I mean, I'm the type, and I could obviously see you are, I don't mind doing all the legwork. I don't mind getting everything, setting up the whole nine yards. The help that I am searching for is the promoting.
Yes.
I feel like, somebody will share it, but it's like, it goes beyond just sharing on Facebook. I mean, really promoting. I mean, really telling your friends, telling groups of people, telling societies that are Italian-based, that's your target audience right off the bat. Like, hey, come to this mass, just come. I think the numbers will inspire others. And, I always shoot for the moon, so you're always disappointed. That's just my personality. They were successful. I would have hoped, I want to see one day where I'm in that church and there's not a seat in the house. That's my goal. Okay. Maybe that's never happened. I don't know. It
but
was.
You want to try for it for sure.
I'm going to try for it. I feel like, is it unrealistic? No. If there are really genuinely others promoting it, I don't see it to not be realistic. Like I told you, in Chicago, we got one. This is Chicagoland area. I mean, there's, what do they always say? There's 500,000 Italian Americans in Chicago. Are you kidding me? We can't fill up a church. Like I said, it bothers me because I want to do that. So that's where I'm hoping to go. Recapping, if people get inspired by this, basically we're talking, one of maybe two, three things that they have to do, right? Organize it. The I don't want to call it a post party, but you know what I mean? Like the afterwards is an essential part of it, correct? And then promotion. Is that basically it?
Yeah. I mean, you have to have obviously the passion, desire. You have to want to do this. You have to feel it inside. Like, I really want to do this. And then from there, yes. In New York, it's a bit easier because I can target parishes that already have an Italian or English Italian mass. Whereas maybe in other places, it's a bit harder because that doesn't exist, but you can find a priest. And then once you have, let's say, a priest who's willing to work with you, then, everything else will fall into place in the sense that you can figure out what you want to do for, let's say, the post-mass hospitality. Do you want to have it at the parish? Do you want to have it at a restaurant? Do you want people to bring things? You'll be able then to work it out. And then promoting it, you hit on a few things. I mean, obviously social media is important. If you can try to connect with the diocese in general, like do they have, let's say, I don't know, ministries where this can be promoted, and then also the societies. But I think with the societies, in many ways, you would have to have, let's say, someone in the society who believes in this. So for example, if you're coming from the outside and just saying like, oh, come to this mass, the people in the societies, they might not be that interested in it. But if there's someone who's a part of a society that's come in the past and likes it, well, then use that person as, the promoter for the society. That's kind of like what I try to do, connect with different types of groups. And I know, you know, there, if there's someone that's from a certain group and they come to an Italian Mass Project event, then I know that they're kind of like the person that it can then promote it in the future as well.
You are a very wise attorney. Yes, I agree with you. I mean, totally what you just said. If you got that society, it could be religious based, but you're kind of just this outsider. They always look at you like you're trying to take something from them.
Yeah, take
even
something.
Though you're offering them everything for nothing.
Yeah.
But if you've got the one insider,
yeah, you need the.
Yes. That is huge that he'll go and pitch and say, hey, let's go do this. Let's go to this mass. That's all we're talking about is going to mass. So definitely I agree with you. How do I say this without sounding condescending? I am very proud of you.
Thank you.
In a fatherly way, because I am much older than you, I am very proud of you because this is a great thing. And it amazes me that someone of your age just took this upon themselves to do it. You did it. You're doing it. It is a great cause. It's a very important one. So I can see your passion. And you were right. You said earlier, and I agree with you about that as well. One needs to possess this passion to have success. Because when you do things with passion, I'm not saying that you always succeed, but you have a better chance at success. Because it comes from the heart, and that's 100%. Obvious with you as well. You're doing it. How do people find out about this? Because let me say this. Granted, if we're talking about remote areas of the United States, it will be more difficult. I understand. But there are so many major cities that have an Italian population that probably have an Italian mass. So it's very doable is what I want to say in your Bostons, your Connecticuts, your Jerseys, your California big cities. You know, I'm in Chicago, perhaps in Milwaukee. It's doable in many places. So how do people find out about it and perhaps even get in touch with you?
Well, they could certainly send me an email. So like literally the Italian Mass Project NY at gmail.com. That's the email. So Italian Mass Project NY at gmail.com. People have emailed me in the past from all over the country just to ask similar questions. And then social media always helps. So if you go on Facebook and you literally type in Italian Mass Project of New York or even Italian Mass Project, it's very easy to find, you know, my page, which obviously has the list of masses, but also some of the events and, you know, links to stay connected. So if anyone is interested, sure, feel free to send me an email. I'd be happy to help you kind of get started if this is something that you're wanting to bring to your, you know, local area throughout the United States, for sure.
Well, definitely on a bigger scale, that's what, you know, I always think like perhaps you will inspire others and, you know, and it is definitely a possibility. You know, maybe someone never thought of this. You know, like I said, maybe they're like, wow, you know what? We could do that here. Let's try it. So you know, this is great. And just kudos to you. God bless you. I mean, you're doing a fantastic job. I love it.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
And, you know, if there's anything I can ever do, obviously you got me. So thank you so much. I'm going to repeat that email because I think it's important. Yes. Italian Mass Project NY at gmail.com. If this is something that sounds appealing to you out there, please send Alexis an email and just inquire and try it. That's the thing. This is not, you know what I love about this too, that it's so doable. This isn't, we need lawyers and we need papers and we got to get accountants and we're getting ID numbers. It's none of the above. It's simply
very grassroots.
Yes. And that's great. And that's how a lot of great stuff happens. Find a parish, talk to the priest, say, what do you think? Odds are, I got to think the parish is going to say, yes, do it. And I'm going to tell you why. We are seeing less numbers going to church, correct? So as a business, they're going to say, you want to do something to have more people come into my business. You really don't want anything from me. Just obviously, you know, we're going to be in the mass in the church and maybe we'll go into a community room or a church or a gymnasium, which pretty much most of them possess. I think they're going to say yes. let's do it. So, right? I don't think they're going to find some...
There's not a lot, like, pushback. Most likely, priests and parishes are like, sure, you know, if you want to organize it, you know, do it. So, again, you need then the person to step up to the plate and organize. But usually the parishes aren't going to give much resistance. If you want to organize it, they'll be like, okay, sure, do it.
Absolutely. So this is such a doable thing that can happen anywhere. So, Alexis, thank you for the interview, but thank you for what you're doing for our people, for Italians, for the church, and everything above, because it's very, very important work.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
All right.